from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. Welcome in. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then D'Lo and KC will hop in here. We were talking some NBA playoffs today. Talking a ton of NFL draft, though, with night one. A wild one last night. Finally in the books. A reminder, though, in this second hour, we're giving you $500. We'll be giving you a keyword. Mm-hmm. Enter that keyword at ESPN1320.com, and you will be entered to win $500. We're not going to do it right now, but we will at some point in this hour.
That's right.
Also, speaking of the NFL draft, 4 p.m. today, right at the end of D'Lo and KC, day two coverage begins. That'll be rounds 2 and 3. And then Saturday, we'll have rounds 4 through 7, beginning at 9 a.m. Every single pick right here on ESPN 1320. NBA playoffs were last night. It was really tough having to second screen the NBA playoffs.
It was wild, man. Watching the NBA playoffs were crazy.
Yeah. Luckily, the Magic just kind of dismantled the Cavs.
Yeah, so, I mean, that made it easy, right?
Hey, real quick, 121-83 the final there. Losing a playoff game by damn near 40 points is so hard.
I think, though, when it starts to go that way, just let it go and like, hey, we're not going to give you anything.
Yes, that is 100% how that game went last night.
That's how it has to go. Like when you get to a point where you're like, hey, everything that they take goes in, you know, you give it a shot, you're down, what is it, 45 to 61 at half, right?
Yeah. And then they got smacked in the third quarter, too.
Yeah, but mid-third, I'm like, okay, I'm pulling the plug on this, and you get nothing.
Yes.
We are not doing any game plan. We're just going to sit here and study while everyone plays.
Yeah.
And, you know, tough.
What's so funny about them blowing out the Cavs, though, by 38 points is I go back to this, is, man, the Magic would be really dangerous with a Malik Monk type player.
Yeah.
And it is just, but then you see Jalen Suggs hit some threes and you're like, hey, look at that. Jalen Suggs, Cole Anthony.
Yeah, but I think
set.
Like, I think their vision is Jalen Suggs alongside.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
But even in the process of them hitting a bunch of threes and scoring 121 points and Paolo Banchero looking like a future All-NBA guy, it's just like, man, it is jarring how much better a scorer like that would be. Just a creator, playmaker.
Oh, yeah.
It's the missing piece for them.
Yeah.
Man.
No, I agree. And the fact they're still up 2-1 of that series.
Yeah, the Cavs are, yeah.
So it's like, that's okay.
I think the Cavs win the next two.
Okay.
Maybe the Magic shocked me, but that felt like the kind of game where the Magic hit a bunch of shots. And like you said, the Cavs, some point early third quarter, went, okay, there's no 25-0 run here. We're punting. Hey, it just happens.
The other thing I loved was the Denver Lakers matchup, because, you know, we talked about this yesterday with Dame. Inevitable.
It is.
Inevitable.
It's tough because we talked about this with Damian, and then I heard D'Lo and KC talk about it on their show as well. where they're both in the camp that like, no, Denver's not that dominant. And I agree with you. I agree with the idea that they're not the 2017 Warriors. They're not the 2011 Miami Heat or 2012 Miami Heat, whatever you're the one. They're not that. But and maybe it's just the matchup with the Lakers. Maybe they get into the second round and really struggle. But dude, it is just the methodical dismantling of teams that it's just it reminds me of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in a way of, man, there's just nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
It's not, hey, one huge play to Tyreek Hill. It used to be. But now it's like, yeah, hey, here's 8 yards to Travis Kelce here. Oh, you stopped the run, 3rd and 2? Yep, sorry about it. Here's Rashee Rice, 4 yards, 1st down. We're going to keep the chains moving. And there's just nothing you can do. That's exactly how I feel watching the Nuggets. I don't look at the Lakers and go, because the Lakers aren't terrible. The Lakers aren't some team that's way out of their depth. But they just have nothing. They have no answers.
There's always a point in a Nuggets game where I feel like it's almost like they just hit the fast forward button and they just run right past you for like a 4 minute stretch and the game's over. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what just happened?
Dude, 1,000%.
Yeah, you're like, that was so quick, and it wasn't like 3-3-3-3-3. Mm-hmm. It's just like, no, they gotta stop. They score every time, they mm-hmm. keep getting stops, they score, and the game's over. Mm-hmm. And you're just sitting back like, I don't know what just happened, but that game, it got out of control very quickly, and it doesn't matter. They don't care how far they're down. Mm-hmm. They don't care like who's hot and who's not. They just literally walk into a game knowing that there's going to come a moment in the game mm-hmm. where they put their foot on the gas and run right past somebody, mm-hmm. and then that team is left scrambling the rest of the way, and they're not. And they're just like, okay, we got you.
Yeah, they're just it's like tortoise and the hare type of stuff.
Yeah.
It is methodically, they're just going to move along and just do their thing.
They literally have a giant tortoise. They do. Like, they do. They have a gigantic tortoise who just wanders up and down the court. And then every time you need him, it's like fall away 18 footer that scrapes the bottom of the scoreboard over 3 guys, nothing but net.
The ugliest jump shot in the league. It is amazing, dude.
Yeah.
And the thing is I think it was Kenny. It might have been Damian. One of the two. Said that the Lakers have been up in all these games.
Oh, yeah. They're up 10 at the end of the first quarter last night.
Yeah, they were up 20 in the second half the other night. But, like, that's the way that the Nuggets are dominant to me.
Yeah.
Is the fact they get down like this, and it's just never panic time. It's never, it's just, nope. We're just moseying along. We're going to do this thing. Like, we got a sledgehammer, and we're about to hit you with it, but, and we'll get there. Hang on.
Yeah, it's coming. You just don't know when.
Man.
Yeah.
That was just so impressive last night.
I think it's funny we had that discussion with Damian, because Damian was like, oh, I don't see it. And we're like, oh, no, we do.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It is what it is.
And I get the argument of, yeah. No, they're not. They have a Hall of Famer. We'll see where Jamal Murray winds up. But it's not like they're this loaded super team. There's just that people can't guard one-on-one.
Yeah.
Man, I totally get that. I 1,000% understand. But watching them last night, again, with how the Lakers played early in that game, I went, oh, hey, the Lakers are going to get one. I just kind of, like I said, I was on a second screen last night. But keeping an eye on it, I'm watching, I'm like, man, early, the Lakers are playing really well. I think they're going to get this game at home tonight. They're gonna finally be, and I think the Nuggets win the next 2 bit. And then, nope, didn't matter.
No.
I'm blown away by the Nuggets, dude. They're incredible.
I think there's a possibility if he does make the Hall, he'll make the Hall in the same way that we just saw Chauncey Billups make the Hall.
Jamal Murray?
Yeah.
That just by being part of a team that wins multiple titles.
Well, yeah, but like even with that, the multiple titles, like somebody else had to be in the Hall besides Ben Wallace. You couldn't just like ignore. Somebody else has to be, because to be honest with you, I don't think Chauncey Billups had a Hall of Fame career at all. Like I have 15.2 and 5.4 assists per game. He was a big game guy, but again, there's nothing about his career that like outwardly says, oh, like surefire Hall of Famer, 5-time All-Star, all that stuff.
He got in because you can't tell the story of the NBA without those early 2000s Pistons teams.
Yeah.
And Chauncey Billups was the dude for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was two-time all-defensive team, mm-hmm. but also you have to remember that Chauncey Billups, again, he's drafted by Boston, goes to Toronto, goes to Denver, goes to Minnesota, and that's all before he's 26. And then he ends up in Detroit, and that's when they start to roll. And, yeah, I mean, like, look, he's a good ball player, but it's just, for me, it's kind of stunning that that's where Jamal Murray is for me. Like, there's a possibility if he were to get into the Hall, it'd be on that. But, again, he's never made an All-Star team.
Yeah, Stephen McBride in the YouTube chat says Jamal Murray might have already had a Hall of Fame playoff career. Like, yeah, if there was a playoff Hall of Fame, like, yeah, Jamal Murray's probably there.
Yeah.
The way he elevates his game, and that's what people are going to remember about him, I think. But, again, he has so much career left.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to put anything on him. But I think right now you look at that team and you go, Nikola Jokic, surefire Hall of Famer. Everybody else, meh.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like, so, 100%. Yeah.
And then the 76ers got on the board against the Knicks, 125-114. Joel Embiid is just unbelievably impressive.
It's the most bizarre
he's got a
thing.
Knee thing. He's got Bell's palsy.
Yes.
So his
entire face started drooping mid-game.
Yeah, just like, it's like a nerve issue.
Yeah, so I looked at it. It's usually caused by a viral infection.
Yes. Right.
And then it like attacks the
nerves
facial,
in your
facial
face.
Paralysis.
Yes.
Yep. In the middle of a game.
And he's just out there dropping 50.
50. 50 with, like, no knee, and his face is, like sliding off. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I don't love the foul grifting.
Yeah.
Went to the free throw line 21 times, but also sometimes that is just a matter of him being huge and getting in the lane and nobody being able to stop him.
There's no way to stop him. Yeah.
Man. Impressive. Impressive postseason from Joel Embiid. He has my undying respect. Let's give away $500 next. We'll continue talking about the NFL draft, some major surprises early on. We will get into all of that on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
No.
Now back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James. I'm Kyle. Talking a lot of NFL draft today. We got some NBA playoffs in there as well, but kind of an interesting discussion cropped up during the break. And we were talking about what picks the 49ers have left. Day two of the draft, of course, today, 4 o'clock, coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320. We'll also give away $500 in this segment, so stay locked in. With the draft, so the 49ers today, they have numbers 63 and 94. The Raiders, they hold numbers 44 and 77. And I think they're in similar spots, despite the fact that where they are in their builds are different. Because you were saying, like, you got to take an offensive lineman on day two. And I think I tend to agree with you.
And day two is just the second and third rounds.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I agree with you for the most part. But also, if they didn't, if they just went, we're out on all the offensive linemen that fell to 63, there was no trade up that we felt was of good value. That's a whole thing with draft, is you can't just take a player to fill a position. To me, if you have literally, if they had no offensive tackles, then sure, you draft one.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to, but right now, like, I don't think the 49ers dislike Colton McKivitz as much as the fan base does. Or as much as some people do. I don't think they view that as like a, man, this is a hardcore, got to trade up, put a bunch of eggs into the basket to draft a tackle. I think they're going to let the board fall. I think they're just going to sit and they're going to say, hey, there's 7 offensive tackles we like, or 4 offensive tackles we like, or however many. We don't think that many will go before 63. And we'll take one if they fall. But if not, it's not like, dang, total failure. It's not for me.
Okay, so here's how I look at it. I'm looking at number 63, number 94, but I'm also looking at my 124, 132, 135, these 3 fourth round picks.
Mm-hmm.
I want to look at who has, in the second or third round, the highest potential left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't, like, he can have a low floor, or like a, like he could be a bust. Mm-hmm. But I want to look and say, who is the most physically gifted? Who is, like, fits, checks some boxes? I'm going to go get that guy. because I want him to sit here with Trent Williams for the next year or two.
Sure.
And I want him to grow into something great.
Sure.
And I'm going to take that gamble that Trent has that ability to work with somebody and make them into that player. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I would be if I'm the 49ers, because again, I don't think this many players, what do they have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 picks? Mm-hmm. 10 players aren't making the 49ers.
Correct.
Yeah, they're not. So I need to go maximize this value. And if that means I take a fourth and one of your extra sixth, maybe that's what I do. To me,
I don't totally disagree with the premise, but to me, that player also needs to be able to, at minimum, compete at right tackle this year.
Okay.
If you're selecting a player to say, hey, you're going to be the heir apparent to Trent Williams, but you're not going to play until he retires, they have too many other things they need to address.
Okay.
At least for me, they need help on the offensive. They need help on the interior of the offensive line. Still,
yep.
You still got to figure out what the right guard situation looks like. You're still looking for an upgrade at right tackle. I think they need help at linebacker. I think they need help at cornerback, both short and long term. I think they need help at safety, both short and long term. Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many things that they could address with these picks. And I'm with you. Offensive tackle, both this year and then preparing for Trent Williams' exit, has to be up there on the priority list.
Oh, yeah.
But I also don't think that it benefits any team, not just the 49ers. I don't think it benefits any team. For example, the Raiders. The Raiders need a long-term answer at quarterback. That doesn't mean I think they should just hit 44 and go, yeah, we're taking a quarterback.
No.
You got to go.
I'm with you.
I think getting good players in the building is paramount in almost all instances. Again, the Titans, the Tennessee Titans, they might have had other needs, or they might have had other players that they really liked when they picked at 7. Mm-hmm. But they went, hey, we need an offensive tackle, J.C. Latham. Like, they literally needed just players to play offensive line.
Yep.
We're getting the best available offensive lineman. Like, that makes sense to me. But when you're in the second round, like, dude, because here's where I'll side with you. Let's say it's, I don't know, Blake Fisher from Notre Dame. I don't think it would be, but if it is, or Roger Rosengarten from Washington. That's a name who's been tied to the 49ers.
Okay.
If the 49ers have identified Roger Rosengarten from Washington and said, you know what, this guy could start at right tackle this year, and we think he has all the tools to be a star left tackle in the post-Trent Williams era. If that's what they believe about him or any or whatever other player, then yeah, trade up and go get him. Go send 63 and a fourth and something else and move up to get that player, mm-hmm, for sure. But if they're sitting there with the tackles who are left going,
they're all in the same boat.
Maybe swing tackle, probably. Like, maybe they can play some right tackle. Don't love them long term as a left tackle. Then yeah, I don't think you need to just go, oh God, you need to just get a guy. If you're just going to try and get a guy, then wait till day three, get a couple of toolsy prospects, big, you know, tall and long arms and athleticism, but maybe they're, you know, sloppy technique or whatever, and you try and build them that way. But to me, you're not doing that on day two.
Okay.
But if they love an offensive lineman on day two, then by all means.
If there's somebody out there that like can fit, I'm going to get him. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, I get what you're saying. I'm not saying draft one just to draft one, but I am saying draft one because, you know, if you need to move up, go get one. So if there is a guy that you target that you think is going to be really good, go get him.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, are the Kings in the same boat if they hold on to their pick this year? Because I was going to say it feels like the same thing in the NBA. But if the best player available for the Kings is, I don't know. I guess I kind of need everything, huh?
No, so that's the problem that I like, in all honesty, the Kings, like, I like where they're at. Like, there are players there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's some...
I haven't done a deep dive on the NBA draft yet. So.
Like, right away, there are some really interesting European prospects.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that the Kings felt like they could be that team that went and did that.
Mm-hmm.
It went and selected one of those guys and waited, mm-hmm, 2 years. Because I think that there is, like, value to that in having a guy who sits at the end of the bench or plays a bunch in the G League in year one. I just don't know that the Kings feel like they they can do that. I think that the Kings, even at this point, they feel like number 13. Just go back, rewind, like, you know, 7 years when they traded Marco Bellinelli for the 22nd pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the Kings are in the reverse of that. Now, if you can go get a player that's better than Marco Bellinelli, because we're talking not the 22nd pick, but the 13th pick.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a player out there that you really like, that you think fits what you're doing and your build, and he might be one of those players that that we keep talking about, that long, athletic, 3-4, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, again, like just throw a name, like Jared Vanderbilt had a bad foot all season, right? But if you think that you could swing like a Chris Duarte and throw in something else to get Jared Vanderbilt and give up your 13th pick. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's right value.
Sure.
But I
just
think
in theory.
That's where I think the Kings could like attack a position of really strong need, but with like a 25, 26-year-old that they're bringing back who's under contract for a few years.
I see.
Who helps you build out, who is a top 8 of the rotation guy. That's where I think the Kings will play. That's the pool, I believe, that they'll play in. I also think, like, why not call Atlanta? Say Atlanta, hey, we'll give you a second round pick if you take this 2013 pick. 24 pick.
2013.
I don't know. My brain went sideways there for a second. But yeah, if you'll take this, well, it's because it's a 13th pick.
But let's say the Kings are making the pick.
Okay.
I think they're in a spot too, similar to the 49ers, where we sit here and go, yeah, they need a 6'9 defender who can shoot. But dude, if there's a really good point guard available who can shoot it from three and can play some defense, then why not?
What I don't want to see them do is sort of just put yourself in the Ricky Pearsall discussion where you're drafting a 23, 24-year-old because you feel like you have to have it now. Like, that's the error, I think, in this situation.
Yeah.
Like, you can look in the draft, and there are, like, 3 or 4 junior seniors that are sitting there, and most of the time, that is who the Kings have selected. You know, look at Davion as a 4-year player. Look at Tyrese Haliburton as a second year, or even Keegan as, like, a 21-year-old sophomore. Yeah. They've looked for that player. So when I'm looking at the draft, I really wish I wasn't looking at like Dalton, what is it, Connect?
Yeah.
Who's a 23-year-old senior.
I love Dalton Connect.
Yeah, there you go. Or Filipowski, or,
yeah,
you know, like really just kind of circling, like going through the draft and saying, man, Terrence Shannon Jr. out of Illinois, he's a 23-and-a-half-year-old senior. Like that makes perfect sense because that's what the Kings are looking for. Like I hope that we have a broader, you know, look at, you know, even like Tristan Da Silva, Colorado, small forward, power forward, 6'9", 229, almost 23 years old at the time of the draft. That's, I don't think, what they should be doing. I think that, you know, you should broaden your horizons and be able to draft like the Tijane Saloon or whatever his name is, the 6'9" dude who's out of Cholet basketball, but at like 18.7 years old at draft season.
Mm-hmm.
But all kinds of potential, but you can't wait for him because we got to get this thing back
doesn't
on
fit
track.
The timeline. You don't want to do two timelines?
No. No, I'm okay with two timelines. I'm okay with bringing up young talent because I think you need to do that on occasion.
Yeah.
But I also think there's, you know,
not
there's going to be more value in that pick to go even in a bad draft.
All right, we got to run. The Falcons might have saved the Raiders from making a terrible mistake. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You know, I've never stretched during the show, but that was nice.
I was doing that just a minute ago.
Just get a little stretch in?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was great.
We should do,
I feel
like,
rejuvenated.
We should do yoga breaks.
If a yoga studio wants to sponsor us doing yoga at the breaks, I will bring a mat and dress in athleisure.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
I'll just be in
here inappropriate
doing
pants.
Tree pose and stuff.
Kyle over there with inappropriate pants on.
I will, dude.
You'll rock.
My ass in some yoga pants. I'll tell you what.
What?
The Atlanta Falcons last night, shocker of the NBA draft, or the NFL draft, excuse me.
Shook the
I
NFL
need to,
draft
hang course. On, let me, did I say the Atlanta Hawks?
Oh, yeah, the Atlanta Falcons. We might need,
did
boy,
I
you
say
got,
I think
got,
I said Falcons.
Got all mixed up.
Well, there. we were talking NBA stuff at the break. The Atlanta Falcons might have saved the Las Vegas Raiders from doing something bad last night. Not necessarily bad, but doing what we didn't think they should do. And that was draft Michael Penix Jr. from Washington. The Falcons ended up taking him 8th overall. I don't necessarily have a problem. Like, if you love, we talked about this yesterday with the Raiders, where I said if the Raiders were convinced that Michael Penix Jr. is a franchise guy and the two season-ending shoulder injuries and the two ACL tears are behind him and he's good to go and he's going to be healthy for 15 years, then great. If you're convicted in that, then yes, go get him. My concern at 8, and Ramsey in our YouTube chat said, why is everyone questioning the Falcons? It's not a bad pick at all whatsoever. It's not in a vacuum, I think, a bad pick, especially since everybody that you hear from with the Falcons has talked about how much they love Michael Penix Jr. and how they think he's a franchise guy. The problem is they just gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed dollars over 4 years. I think it ultimately comes out to a two-year deal with $100 million guaranteed, I think is how it works. But Michael Penix Jr., part of the reason that his draft stock was low was because of his age.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's turning 24.
Yes.
And now you've committed to Kirk Cousins at least for 2 years. And so, and hopefully longer if you're the Falcons.
A four-year 180.
Right. So you're hoping he sees the 4 years of that contract.
Mm-hmm.
And their general manager, Terry Fontenot, said, like, hey, if we're sitting here with Kirk Cousins in 4 years, that means things are going pretty well. But okay, let's play that out. Let's play it out where Kirk Cousins plays the next 4 years. And then Michael Penix Jr. steps in for what will be his fifth year option. And maybe you extend him before then for cheap. But now you basically have your starting quarterback who's going to be 28, 29 years old and just getting started. And you're signing him to a quote unquote long-term contract at that point, or maybe he's playing out his fifth year option. And then you're kicking in the long-term contract where now he's basically 30 and you're paying him for the first. It feels like not a bad pick because of Michael Penix Jr.
Okay.
It feels more like a bad pick because of what the Falcons need on their roster. The Falcons are not a championship roster right now, I don't think. They have good weapons on offense for sure. Kirk Cousins is going to help them immensely.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, they were so out on the defensive players in this class that they needed to have Michael Penix Jr. They didn't. They thought this is the best way to help their team.
Kyle, there were so many other options, man. I'm looking at this.
I don't get it.
First of all, I would rather, if I'm going to have Kirk Cousins as my quarterback, I'd much rather have him with like the best offensive tackle in the draft, which went number 11, right? You could have had him. Not only that, but we can look, the Jets and Vikings swapped 11 for 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think you could have got something to go from 8 to 11 where Penix is probably on, might still be on the board, but if he's not, there's still an offensive tackle. There's still like all of these other pieces, or maybe he does make it there. Maybe J.J. McCarthy doesn't. Like, there are so many options there. You could have got one of the best wide receivers in the draft. Like, there are so many things you could have done right there.
Right, and that's so we've talked about, and it's 28 that Penix will be when he's up for an extension. Not 30, but almost 30.
Yeah. It's still 28.
But yeah, that's pretty old in quarterback years, or in NFL years, I should say. But you just, I know we talked about earlier, if, you know, you got to go get the best player available. And if here's my issue. Why did you sign Kirk Cousins then? If you were going to go, if there was a chance you were going to invest your top 8 pick in a quarterback, why did you go pay a veteran for 4 years and $180 million?
The big splash of the free agency.
Yeah, which was great. Like, I don't think Kirk Cousins is great, but I'm higher on him than other people I talk to about him. Higher on him than some people. And I thought it was a good pick. I think he helps them right away, or a good signing in free agency. Helps them right away. Great. Now they can build out their team with their draft pick. But if you had an inkling that, like, man, hey, you know what? We've started doing work on Michael Penix Jr. and we think he's a really good player. And we think that, if we get in the building with him and he shows us he's made of franchise quarterback material, like, you could have gone and gotten Sam Darnold for way cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Investing in a second quarterback, that's fine. I think that's actually smart given the rate that quarterbacks get hurt. But I don't, if you're picking 8th, you're hoping to get your guy for the next 15 years.
Yeah, and you could have just stuck with Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke. And drafted the quarterback.
Oh, I see. Sure.
Yeah, you could have done that. Like, yeah. They're perfectly fine being backup quarterbacks and drafting a young quarterback, and whether he starts on day one or he starts in week 4, it doesn't matter. You got your dude. That's fine, but to go out and to give a guy $180 million when you could have addressed a lot of other needs, hey, that just doesn't make any sense. And then to not only that, but like, you had an opportunity to, one of the best wide receivers in the draft is sitting there at number 8. You could have taken him. The best tight end, you don't really need a tight end. You got Kyle Pitts. But at the same time, you couldn't have used an offensive lineman. You couldn't move down 2 or 3 spots and maybe still got the same player. I don't know. Like,
I'm with you, man. It's a head-scratching pick. You know what's not head-scratching? This $500 that we're going to give away right now.
Hell yeah.
the Nothing But Net $500 giveaway. You can go to ESPN1320.com right now. Get ready to enter the code word that we are about to give you. The code word is layup. Layup. All one word. Layup. L-A-Y-U-P. L-A-Y-U-P. All one word. Layup.
Layup.
There it is. Go to ESPN1320.com. It's part of the Nothing But Net $500 giveaway. Enter that code word. You will be entered to win $500. D'Lo and KC will also be giving you a keyword later, which gives you a second chance at winning $500. A big shout out to our winner from yesterday, Jason S. in Sacramento. Jason S. in Sacramento, our winner of $500 from Thursday. So go to ESPN1320.com right now and enter the code word layup. The Nothing But Net $500 giveaway.
Okay. We don't know who Jason S. is.
No.
We don't know if it is a Jason S. from the chat, but...
There is a Jason S. in the chat.
Yeah, but we don't know if it's that guy.
Is it him?
They don't give
us... I hope it's him.
They don't give us the names.
We can't... Like I said, we have very little control over this. We have a tremendous promotion staff full of people smarter than me.
Yes.
And we have lawyers and stuff who go over every single giveaway thing. So we don't have any say in who wins. But we want the chatty house to win all the things.
Yeah. And Kyle and I are irresponsible, so they don't give us things like last names and stuff like that.
Facts.
It just is what it is. Adam L., you literally are asking, did you miss the code word? The code word just happened.
Adam!
It just happened.
Make a play, bro!
Come on.
Adam L., is that L for layup? It should be, because that's the code word. Boom, roasted.
It's ridiculous, and we're tired of it.
Layup.
Spray those hot keys, Kyle. Spray those hot keys.
I don't think we're going to see any day two fireworks in the draft.
Oh, I think we're going to see day two fireworks.
I don't think...
I think something silly is going to happen.
The Raiders pick 44 and 77. I think Tom Telesco is vibing. He's just going to go get some good. Going to get some good football players. I am overall optimistic about the Raiders' direction. With the 49ers, because of what you mentioned earlier, that needed offensive tackle. If there's a player that they are like, dang, this could be our starting right tackle this year with potential to be, then yeah, trade up and go get him. Better than that, I think they're going to be content to hang out.
Okay.
And let the board fall because there's some really good players left. And they're just going to go, yeah, hey, we like four offensive linemen. Maybe one falls. But if one doesn't fall, that means a linebacker's falling or a cornerback. 63 would be the earliest they've ever taken a cornerback under.
I'm trading up for Kool-Aid. I am. I'm trading up for Kool-Aid. I don't care.
You might have to trade up to like 33. You might have to trade Deebo Samuel to get Kool-Aid.
I don't care if he's good or not. I want to have
Kool-Aid on my roster. On your team? That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, his foot thing. I think his foot thing was why he didn't. He has a Jones fracture. That's part of why he didn't go round one.
Okay. Yeah, that's not great.
And to finalize this Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel thing, I still don't think either one gets traded. And if they do, I really don't think Ayuk's getting traded. If Deebo Samuel gets traded this year, like today, I think it's going to be a package that we... I think it's going to be a set of picks in the trade that we're looking at it and going, man, yeah, you couldn't have turned that down.
Yeah.
Team X got fleeced. I think that's kind of how it's going
to
look.
Yeah, I don't think any of us want to see a trade just to make a trade or a trade to get a bunch more picks in this year's draft. Like, you need, like, it's got to be a quality move. It's got to be something that helps you now, that helps you build out your roster. That's how I would look at it. Like, again, you don't have to do anything this year. I am a little concerned about the injury and you know, what these guys could look like, what Deebo could look like next year.
Sure. It's time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building. Kenny, you are here just in time. We'll get your reaction to the NFL draft here in a second. Sorry, let's get your mic on.
Yes, sir.
We'll get your reaction to the draft here in a second, but Adam Schefter just tweeted this.
Okay.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is mulling a future with 18 regular season games, a President's Day weekend Super Bowl, and a significant increase in international games. Yuck.
So there's a lot going on there.
There's so much happening.
So number one, let's start with 18 games. Not surprised. We don't like it.
Not surprised.
We all knew this was the move. We all knew when they were talking about 17, oh, it's going to be 18 eventually. Mm-hmm. So we already know that's the case. Number two, President's Day weekend Super Bowl. Not mad at it.
I'm in.
Not mad at it. What have we been talking about for so long about they just need to let us off work the Monday after Super Bowl?
Give me that Monday off.
So, not bad.
I'm there.
And then international games, two thumbs down.
Yeah, I don't like the international games.
Let's stop this. One of the reasons why I hate that is because it takes away a home game. I've never liked it because of that.
Exactly.
And I don't care if it's Jacksonville, Buffalo, or Green Bay, or San Francisco. Like, there's no reason to take away a home game for these guys to go to Germany or something like that. If anything, like, you might even get me on board. You probably wouldn't because I just don't like to travel and anything, especially I'm a Niners fan coming from the West Coast to have to go to one of these European cities.
That's not going to happen, though. I think this will be strictly East Coast teams going over. I mean, because they haven't really done that, right?
Well, they can't go at some point. They can't do that. The Niners went once, and they've been skating, just like Hard Knocks, they've been skating around it for years. Yeah. At some point, they got
to
go.
They will do anything. They'll be like, okay, fine, we'll go to Mexico. Okay, fine, we'll coach the Senior Bowl. It's just all
Right, they've been trying to skate around it for years. And at some point, maybe it is Mexico. Maybe they can get away with, like, going to Mexico again, but... if they got to go to Germany or something like that's crazy. That feels like damn near a schedule loss, NBA style.
What did you think of the Ricky Pearsall pick? Your initial reaction.
Uh-oh.
No, my initial, look. We have a good time here. You guys know me. You know me.
Yeah.
My initial reaction. Took a wide receiver?
You throw your hat?
No. I was just literally like, because I was like looking at it from the distance. I was looking at the screen from a distance.
Yeah.
I was like, you know I need glasses. And I
said, of course.
It took a white guy a receiver? Huh.
And it wasn't Ladd McConkey?
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. So then I looked at the breakdown and I was like, it looks good enough. I'm not going to act like, you know, I knew him. I don't do the mock drafts and draft boards and all this other stuff. Wasn't that familiar with him. But the more, you know, I saw him, I liked what I saw in that initial highlight clip.
Mm-hmm.
Then started doing some more deep dive into him. Guy looks like a player.
Mm-hmm.
Then the C.J. Stroud clip, CJ was distraught that he was gone. So that helped me feel good about it. And then you talk about what's going on with Debo and Ayuk. I'm of the belief, and we'll talk about this more throughout the day, but I'm of the belief this – entire draft, damn near, is more of a stock in the cupboard draft and preparing for the following season. And that's what I think this was. I think unless they're blown away by an offer, they know they got one more year of Ayuk and Debo together.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're going to maximize that this year, but they're getting ready for 2025 because one of them, and it's probably going to be Debo, is going to have to be gone.
I'm with you.
And that's what this pick is about. And I think that's what this draft is about. They're going to get a tight end to look to replace Kittle. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to look to get a left tackle or somebody that can rotate to being a left tackle to replace Trent Williams. And all this is like a depth draft, you know?
Yeah.
And that's dangerous.
It feels like that's what the last couple have been, though.
True. But this one, the thing that I said, I tweeted it out, like, say they draft who you want to draft. Who's starting? Like, where is there a starting position available on both sides of the ball? Maybe you could say corner. Maybe you could say interior defensive lineman. But 22, like, at least 19 of the 22 starting spots are filled. So I think they're going to go heavy on preparing themselves for 2025 in this draft.
And I think there's a way you can kind of thread that needle better than they have in the past.
Mm.
Last year, it was Jake Moody and then Jair Brown because of injury.
Mm.
And a sprinkle of Ronnie Bell here and there.
Right.
Other than that, it was like, nobody is going to play.
Right.
But I think a guy like Ricky Pearsall can function as a wide receiver four, wide receiver three if somebody's hurt.
That's something else I thought about, not to interrupt, but when things would go bad, whether it was Debo hurt or you needed a four wide receiver, they had to go to Ray McCloud.
Chris Conley too.
Yeah.
And that just wasn't it. Now, if Debo goes down, any of the receivers go down, and you're going to that fourth wide receiver, you're going to a guy that that is like a legit. I like Ray Ray, but he's more of a special teams guy.
Yeah, gadget
and,
guy.
Yeah, and you're going to more of a legit wide receiver. Think about if Slick Rick was there in Minnesota in that Minnesota game.
Yeah,
instead of Brock trying to throw those passes over the middle to little Ray Ray, you got Slick Rick there. Maybe, you know, that changes that game. So
yeah.
How many times last season did they make that play right there where they threw to a like tertiary wide receiver in a crucial moment where you're like, oh no. Like, yeah. Why are you throwing it there? And yeah. You're right. Like, if you have somebody that you trust and it's a big wide receiver that knows how to get open and who has great hands, okay.
Yeah.
I like him. I like what I see so far.
I loved what the Raiders did, too.
Oh, man. That dude's
Brock Bowers
beast.
A,
oh,
so sick.
Man. Damn. That's a good look. So I feel like CJ Stroud when they drafted him. I wanted him to like, fall today. Yeah, man. That's a good pick for the Raiders. That's a good look.
Yeah, it is.
The Nuggets dominant yet?
They're dominant against the Lakers. I know that much. They beat their ass left and right. They toss them around like a rag doll every time they play them.
I was watching the first quarter last night, and I was like, wow, look at the Lakers. They're going to get one. Good for them.
I thought they were going to win yesterday.
I did, too. They looked so good in the first quarter. It's like, okay, the Nuggets took a night off. That's cool. And then, nope, just
walked them down.
I did not think the Lakers were going to win any. What did you think of Embiid, though? Like, running out there with, like, no knee,
man,
face is slumped to the side, and he's out there dropping 50?
It's amazing. I mean, this dude... We can make the argument he's the best player in the game right now. He's one of those ones. I don't know how he gets through a playoff season, but what he's doing right now to will that team to at least have life in this series, that's phenomenal. I mean, he has some questionable plays, but, you know.
I've gained a whole new respect for him just in terms of, like you said, the dirty stuff is – that sucks.
Yeah.
But, man, just dragging that leg out there and he's got his face, and he's just like, nope, we're going to get a win tonight.
That's a team.
Here's 50.
That's a team a city would love. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, I understand why Philly loves Embiid. Yes. Just imagine if Embiid was a Sacramento King.
Oh, my God.
And not only, like, the success of the team, but him. Like, it's time to put this team and the city on my back, and I'm going to deliver. That's stuff legends are made of in cities.
If Joel Embiid had done that in a Kings uniform, we would be talking about Joel Embiid. And that's it for 6 hours.
He'd be next to the little pig.
We'd also be talking about like a third team all NBA or whether or not he's going to make it. Despite the 50.
Yeah.
Joel shooting a fadeaway would be next to the little pig. That's what it'd be, the statue right next out in front. That's how we do it.
Yeah, Piglet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He's so good, dude.
Yeah, he's the truth.
Yeah.
He's the truth. Knicks are winning that series, though.
You think?
Yeah.
That late three he had over Brunson, where Brunson was like up against him. Like Brunson was on him. Mm. And it's just, oh man, you're too small. Mm. I'm just going to lace this three.
More likely to win their series, as is to both of you with a minute left. 76ers, Magic, or Pelicans?
Magic.
I'm going to go Sixers.
I'm going to go Pels.
Wow.
I think the Pels got...
They got no shot without Zion. If they had Zion, I'd feel a little different.
I'm with you, man. The Thunder just, I think we leaned, and maybe it's just me. I think I leaned too hard into like playoff inexperience thing, and it might matter if Zion was playing, but the Thunder are just good, dude.
Right,
they're just really freaking good.
And real quick, the playoff inexperience thing, that's like something you deal with against the Nuggets or even the Lakers, not against the Pelicans. The Pelicans don't have enough playoff pedigree to take advantage of you not having that experience.
1,000%. All right. What do you guys got today?
We got football, man. We talking a draft. We're talking to Kyle Mattson. You know what I'm saying?
Good get. Mark. Good booking.
Yeah, Candlestick Chronicles. Please. And we talking to James Hamm about the Kings. I got some Malik Monk thoughts, too. I'm interested to hear what you guys got to say when we actually talk about it. But yeah, we talking a little bit of everything.
Can't wait. All right. We're out of here. See you next week. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Mattson for Kenny Caraway, D'Lo, and Casey next on ESPN 1320. Sacramento's sports leader. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing.
He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.